When we've been hurt, our first instinct is often to get even. In one sense, there is a time and place for getting even. After we've sought reconciliation with someone we've hurt, there may be the need to make things right, to pay back what is owed, to undo the damage we've done. Today, advice on how to repair a broken relationship so that it stays fixed. Stay with us. From Chicago's Moody Church, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer is continuing his series on what happens after you've blown it, reconnecting with God and others. He's talking about reconciling with those you've hurt and about why restitution is often necessary.
When necessary, reconciliation necessitates restitution. Restitution. You know, the Bible has a whole theology of restitution if you look at the Old Testament. It was always assumed that reconciliation involved restitution if it was possible. Remember the story of Zacchaeus? Jesus comes to Zacchaeus, and he was a chief tax collector, and he was wealthy, and he wanted to see who Jesus was, and he says, Jesus, come to my house. We used to have a little chorus we sang in Sunday school, come to my house for tea. I guess the chorus was made up by someone in Britain coming to the house for tea. But it says in verse 8, but Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And now remember, he's a tax collector, and these folks were not always examples of honesty. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Wow. I think God would be satisfied with the amount, but he says four times the amount if I've cheated anybody. Can you imagine how much salvation, restoration cost Zacchaeus? The very next verse, Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house. Wow. I have a friend who went into the garage to pray. I've prayed in the garage many times. When I was growing up, I used to sometimes go into the garage to pray. And he was praying, and this time he really wanted to pray. Do you ever have a desire to say, boy, I really want to get through to God on this? Because his daughter was getting married, and he wasn't sure about whether she was marrying exactly the man that the parents would have chosen. And he really wanted to really connect with God. He gets down on his knees to pray, and God seems to say to him, Henry, don't bother. Wow, don't bother. Why would God not want somebody to bother to pray? 15 years earlier in college, he cheated. And actually, the cheating wasn't that big a deal. The professor in one class said, I want you to do new work in this course. He said, I don't want you to use research that you've used in some other course. But he was in a hurry. Is there a college student who is not in a hurry? Is there a college student who is not poor and in a hurry? And so what he did is he took one paper that he had used in another class and he submitted it to the other class. He got an A, and he was honored when he graduated because of his distinction and his very, very good grades. 15 years later, when he really wants to connect with God, God says, Henry, why bother? So he doesn't know, are they going to take my degree away or whatever? He goes to the university, confesses what he did. They did not take his degree away from him. I wonder how many college students would have their degrees taken away from them if cheating was a basis for withdrawing a degree. I interviewed a man one time who said, Pastor Lutzer, he said, I want you to know today that revival God was working mightily in their church. He says, cost me thousands of dollars and has left me in the poorhouse. He was a contractor who built houses. And what he did is he built the houses with inferior material. You know, he said that he was going to build them with this, but actually, in point of fact, he built them with inferior material. He was cheating the people, telling them they were getting one quality and he was giving them another quality. And now suddenly he asked the question, what do I have to do to be right before God and man? And the Holy Spirit won't let him sleep until he answers that question, just like the blessed Holy Spirit of God won't let you and me sleep if we're honest until we answer that question. And so he did what he knew he had to do. He went from one person to another and confessed and agreed that he would pay them back. He said, I had to go to the bank and borrow money. He said, I mortgaged my house so that I could pay them back. I said, was it worth it? He said, it was worth every single penny to be right with God and right with man. How much might reconciliation cost you? One more story, and then this message has to be over. You can understand now why it's going to be two. God knows, it might be three. 1975, a young teenager murders a neighbor's wife just to see what it was like to murder somebody. You know that there are teenagers like that today? Thank God, I don't believe they're here. How we thank God for our teenagers and we pray for them. But there are kids today, because of the violence of our culture, who murder just to see what it's like. He gets by with it. The police question him, but they don't have any hard evidence. So he grows up, gets married, has children, and says to himself, I have a secret in my life that I will carry to my grave. But then he gets saved. You know, people think getting saved always makes your life happy, 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 happy. Listen, sometimes it just makes it miserable, 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 miserable. Because the things you lived with before your conversion, you can't live with them anymore. And you've got a history, and you know right well that you've got to do something about your past. What should he do? 1997, 22 years later, he turns himself over to the authorities and he goes to jail, and he is in jail today as I speak. This is what he says. Yet God was faithful to his promise to uphold me. At the moment of truth, though I am now a prisoner of the law, I was set free before God for the first time in my life. I cannot describe the feeling of that burden completely lifted. The Lord now held his once disobedient child in his loving arms, and true to his promise, he did not let me fall. A wonderful peace came over my soul, such as I have not known before. I'm now confined to a maximum security prison, serving time for second-degree murder, but I am more free and more at peace than at any other time in my life. How much might it cost you to be reconciled to God? I really do believe I have a pastor's heart, and so it's hard for me to say what I'm going to say now, but I'm going to say it, and then we're going to end this message. What about those of you who are in the United States of America illegally because of falsified papers? Have you ever talked to the Lord about that and asked him what he might have you do? And what about those of us who are in America legally? What is God saying to us? What does he say to us? Today we're going to observe communion. The whole point of communion is reconciliation with God, but also with others. You see, the reason that the early church always had a loaf of bread is because they wanted to say that there is one body, actually, and we're all members of the same loaf, and we're all members of the same cup. What is there in your life you may have to take care of? Maybe you shouldn't participate today. until you've been reconciled. I had a wonderful ending to this message, but it's going to end here, and we'll pick it up. What is God saying to you? And for those of you who have never trusted Christ as Savior, you know the basis of this whole thing is God's forgiveness. So if you've never trusted Christ as Savior, you're not forgiven by God. Therefore, you really probably are not too interested in forgiving others. And you say, this is just messy business, but it becomes important business when we experience God's gracious forgiveness. Would you join me as we pray? Father, would you just come to us in our need? Because there's no doubt that decisions are being made and issues have arisen in our minds that need to be dealt with. And we ask, oh Father, show us the way. Give us the wisdom that we need to make wise decisions, but also, Father, to pay any price that you ask us to pay, to have a conscience void of offense before God and before man. We love your people, and we grieve for your people. And we ask, O Father, make us an obedient people. And even as we remember our Lord's death, make this a transforming experience because we honor him whom we love. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. This is Pastor Lutzer. As you might have realized, this message that I preached at the Moody Church was a difficult one to preach and also a difficult one to receive. Because throughout the years as I've been a counselor and spoken to many people, I've discovered something. There are many people who want to be right with God, but they don't want to pay the price of being right with others. But I maintain that it is not possible to be totally right with God, to receive his forgiveness without extending that forgiveness to those who have wronged us. And if you are living, my friend, in such a way that there is within you, to quote the words of one woman, a stone in your heart, bitterness, resentment, the unwillingness to forgive those who have wronged you, I need to say that your relationship with God will be short-circuited. You'll never experience that sense of freedom, that willingness to serve God with joy, because that bitterness and anger in your heart will always be there. Could I say to you today, very lovingly, from my heart to yours, give it up. Just give it to God. Let him even the score. Tell him that you are willing to do anything that he would ask for you to be right with others. Clear that conscience that God has given you, that you may be able to serve effectively with freedom and tremendous power.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. Dr. Erwin Lutzer has wrapped up his message on reconciling with those you've hurt. The fifth of six messages on After You've Blown It, reconnecting with God and others. On Monday, don't miss the compelling final message in this series, When Others Won't Forgive You. Running to Win comes to you from Chicago's Moody Church to help you understand God's roadmap for your race of life. Our current series is available on CD, cassette, and MP3, and also it's in print as a Multnomah Life Change book. For full information, call toll-free at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Ask about the series After You've Blown It. Visit our website at runningtowin.org. And don't forget, this broadcast is supported by listeners just like you. This is Dave McAllister. Join us Monday for our next Running to Win.